You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, we're going to get right into our devotional today from the Suckwell Devotional Series, and I believe this is going to be one of the most important messages that I ever gave. So please listen carefully to this devotion and also the teaching after it, because it's time we did something. It's been almost a whole year that I've been doing these Sufferwell devotionals, hoping you're just not listening, but you're actually putting it into action and doing something about it. And again, this message will be one of the most important messages I gave, because it's a call to be responsible for what we have to do and we must do. So we read right now. It says, it is not some lifeless thing or abstract idea. It is not an object or some concept that is easily minimized or diminished with a few popular Christian soundbites. It cost everything. It is to the two-letter word from the mouth of the one who redeemed it, you, and made it a way for you to be sanctification and salvation. And what is so very special about this it? It is the it in it is finished, John 19, verse 30. The context in which this two-letter word is used reveals the word's powerful intention, and also exposes any carnal disregard you may have inherited through the doctrine pre-justice. We would do well to define what Yeshua was referring to as being finished. It would be equally as important to emphasize what he was not including. Anything less than a solid understanding about the enormity of what this little word refers to can be very destructive in your walk as a disciple. For far too long, he has entrusted to take up his course to put on his mantle, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, have failed to embrace what he desired when he promised we would do greater things, John 14, 12 to 14. This is because we cannot press on to greater things, having interpreted the it as meaning anything and everything. If everything is finished, what more is there to do, let alone greater things? Historically, this misperception has caused man to say such things as, we're now under grace. It was all finished in Yeshua. That's been done away with, speaking about the majority of the law and the commandments. Yeshua fulfilled that when he died, so I don't have to. And he did it for us. These sound bites feel good as they conjure up feelings of freedom in Yeshua. The problem, however, is that they are simply not true. To the contrary, the freedom we have in Messiah is that we have become bondservants, voluntary slaves to do his will, to finish what he started. For this is the will of the Almighty, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish man. As freedom, yet not using liberty to cloak for vice, but as a bondservant of the Almighty, 1 Peter 2, 15 and 16. He left us and is waiting at the right hand of the Father until the resurrection of all things, Acts 3, 21. This restoration is our job. It is the greatest thing. What he does was monogamous, but it was now so we would need to do nothing. Rather, it was so we could do something. It was to open up our minds and restore the access to the presence of Yahweh himself. When Yeshua died on the stake, his self-will died as the veil of blindness was torn, Matthew 27, 51. But the minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veils remained over the hearts of the minds. In regard of the old covenant, because the veil is taken away in the Messiah, but even to this day when Moses is read A veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Master, the veil is taken away. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 14 to 16. The veil over your mind has been removed so you can see the spiritual and perceive the Father again. Understand and obey his words and know the hope of his calling on your life. Read Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 and 4, 1 to 13. And we're going to take a moment and read that. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 says, Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in a wonderful Messiah, Yeshua, and your love for Yahweh's people everywhere, I have not stopped thinking and thanking Yahweh for you. I pray for you consistently, asking Yahweh, the glorious Father of our wonderful Messiah, Yeshua, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so you might grow in your knowledge of Yahweh. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given those who he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of Yahweh's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Yeshua from the dead and sealed him in the place of honor at the right hand of the heavenly realms. Now he is far above the ruler of authority over power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Yahweh has put things under the authority of Yeshua and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Yeshua, who fills all things everywhere within him. And it says in Ephesians 4, 1 to 13, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving Yahweh, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by Yahweh. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Elohim, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is over all and all and living through it all. However, he's given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Yeshua. That is why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Yeshua also descended to a lowly world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are gifts Yeshua gave to the assemblies, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip Yahweh's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Yeshua. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of Yahweh's Son that we will be made mature in Yeshua, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Yeshua. And now continuing with the devotional, it says this is what his it is referring to. This is the it that is finished. Yes, his work, it is finished, loved one. Your it remains undone. Where his work left off, your work begins, and you have much work to do. You must work out your salvation, a saved, perfected mind, with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. He did not work out your salvation for you. Rather, he redeemed you, Romans 3:24 and Ephesians 1:7, which gave you permission, access, and the power to do it yourself. The spirit within you now awakens and empowers you to do everything from which Yeshua, the Messiah, gave his life. You now possess the inspiration and ability to abide in Yeshua's love, to obey Yahweh's commands, and yes, just as the Messiah taught us, if you keep my commandments, it will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15:10. When you argue that it means it is all finished and that you are free from any obligation as a believer, it is like you are still living with the veil over your heart. Perhaps next time you hear someone express that Yeshua finished it all, you might allow those words to resonate within you. Meditate on how he certainly did finish his part and how he expects you to fulfill yours. He would say, "It is finished," John 19:30. "Go therefore," Matthew 28:19, "and do greater things," John 14:12. Yeshua's "it" meant everything to his Father, and finishing it provided his utter obedience. If you truly love Yahweh, you can prove it as well by acknowledging that your "it" also means everything to him. How so? You can do it in the same way Yeshua did, by utter obedience. "For this is the love of the Almighty, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome," John 1, verses 5, 3. If this is now your declaration prayer, "I stand in you and for you, Yahshua. I believe the shedding of your blood gave me the ability to shed my blood. I believe you have given me the right to be perfectly obedient, for you have commanded it. I long for your purging, your cleansing that removes all sin from my conscience." Hebrews 10:2 and 9:14. "I believe that the others wait upon us also to be made perfect." Hebrews 11:40. "I believe your "it" allows your chosen ones to finish their "it." Only then will the kingdom of Yahweh manifest on earth within a perfected man. "The Messiah is in me and the hope and glory." Colossians 1:27. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is extremely, extremely amazing, amazing, important scripture or devotional to read here, because now we have to talk about this. We have to get down to what our responsibility is. It is for every person. And it says in John 14:12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." Understand this. We have a responsibility, and most so-called believers and Christians today are not willing up to live up to their responsibility. They're not being responsible and taking their actions to do and live out their lives. They're not even willing to commit their own sin, blaming others for all their trials. It's time we became responsible and we put his words to action. And it's time we took responsibility for the shortcomings in our lives. And every single one of us has that responsibility. There wasn't no such thing as Yahweh's chosen people. For it says in the scriptures, "Many are called, but few are chosen." And what that context is that many are called, but few choose. Every single one of us hearing my voice right now has a responsibility. Every single one of you that's ever picked up a Bible and read even one word from the scriptures has a responsibility to fulfill it. To fulfill it. And he's given us the great blessing to help us, assist us along the way through Yeshua, our Messiah. Remember what it says in Colossians 1:27. "For Yahweh wanted them to know that the riches of his glory, of Yeshua, are for everyone." Everyone. And this is the secret. Yeshua lives in us. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. No one should ever come to you and wonder if you're a believer or not, or a follower of Yeshua. People should know within the first few minutes of talking to you what you believe in. You should never hide this truth. It says, "Go and make disciples." It doesn't say hide the truth. It says reveal the truth to them. It is our responsibility to go and let people know what the scriptures say. It is not our responsibility to convince them to listen. It's up to our Creator to open up their eyes and move that veil from their heart. But it's our responsibility to share our testimonies with others. In these last couple of days, there were two stories that were so powerful that I've seen and read and heard. And it just went on with all the stories that are in the scriptures and everything else. Two powerful people in scriptures. One of them was this amazing couple in this movie, The Insanity of God. The true story of faith and persecution. When we started this devotional, we spoke about Fox's Books of Martyrs and the people that were going through all the trials, but they were not denouncing Yeshua. They found joy in suffering well. And in The Insanity of God, this documentary really showed the people all around the world that are willing to take the word to the extreme and proclaim it, even if their own life was on the line. And then I saw this wonderful movie years ago, and I looked up the son of the person in this movie. The movie was called The End of the Spear. about a group of missionaries that took the word all around the world like they were commanded to do to a tribe of people that were killing each other because they didn't know the love of Yeshua. And this tribe was killing everybody. And this group of missionaries went out there and they too got killed. And they had a chance to defend themselves with their guns, but they didn't. To show the love of Yeshua. And many years later, one of the children of these people that were killed, these missionaries, went back there and became great friends in teaching the people of these tribes the message of Yeshua's love. And they became like an instant family. And this man, his name is Steve Saint. You need to look him up on the internet. And you need to understand how his father was taken from him. And not only did he forgive the man that killed his father, that man became one of the closest people in that person's life. An amazing story in this man of how he was willing to go and share the gospel at all cost. He too could have died, but he saw the full glory of what it meant to share the love of Yeshua with the people all over the world that we were commanded to do. And he says in his quotes, he says, "Your story is the greatest legacy that you will leave to your friends. It is the longest legacy you will leave to your hires. Your testimony of Yeshua and your story of life." He says, "I have come to understand that life is too complex and much too short to let amateurs direct the story. I would rather let the master storyteller do the writing." And then he tops it off by saying, "Christianity is the extreme call to a radical life following a revolutionary leader. That's what it was supposed to be. And it makes me sick to my stomach to see so many people today fighting for their privileges and their rights on TV today. They're fighting for all these organizations and everything else with all their heart. They're marching in the middle of the night. They're doing everything, staying up, not sleeping, to get their message out of the freedom that they want and desire. But nowhere, at no time, is anyone quoting Yeshua. No one is pushing the scriptures. No one is saying the commandments, what must be done. Everyone's seeking after their own ways and what they think is right in their own heart. And this is because people haven't been persecuted enough to understand the only sure way to maturity is through suffering well. Suffering well. But people, as I said, aren't willing to take the responsibility. So please look at the end of the spear. See these quotes by Stephen Saint, and look at the insanity of God and get that call to understand. We must stop wasting our time, folks. We must stop wasting our time. Every moment we must be proclaiming Yeshua to the world, whether it's in our actions, in our words. We must not hold back the gospel any longer. It says in Psalms 90 verse 12 to teach us to number each of our days so that we may grow in wisdom. And Psalms 39 verses 4 and 5 says, "Yahweh, remind us how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath." This is so essential to understand. We need to stop wasting time on things other than the gospel. We need to get the message out of Yeshua and stop wasting opportunities and time. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17 says, "So be very careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good, because these are evil times. So do not be foolish, but learn what Yahweh wants you to do." So important. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "There's an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven." And Colossians 4:5 says, "Be wise in the way you act with those who are not believers. Use your time the best way you can." And I ask you today, have you ever walked away from a conversation, an altercation, or a discussion with anyone without giving them the impression that you are a radical for Yeshua and you believe and stand for everything the Bible stands for? Anything less than that is not acceptable. Anything less than that is not acceptable. It's time we've taken our eyes off the world ways and the world and put them on Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. It says in Ephesians 5:11, don't waste your time on useless work. Make busy work. The barren persuades of darkness. Expose these things for the shame they are. Romans 12:2 says, not being conformed of this world that's lazy and wasting time, but transformed and renewed by your mind in Yahweh. That is testing that you may discern the will of Yahweh and good, acceptable, and perfect. John 4:34, my food, said Yeshua, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a good cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For Yahweh, for the joy is set before him, and he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh, Hebrews 12:1-2. Disciple, to go and make disciples. It's time we understand the great blessing of the discipline of Yahweh to keep us on track. It says in Proverbs 10:17, whoever heeds discipline shows the way of life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. We're simply wasting too much time. Too much time. We must be diligent and take control. It says the lazy will be put to forced labor, Proverbs 12:24. Proverbs 19:15 says lazy is cast into the deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. Proverbs 14:23, and it's told there is a profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Don't procrastinate. I see people willing to stay up late at night to watch a boxing match. I see people willing to get up early in the morning to go to some parade or some march or something else. But people are being lazy for Yahweh to go out there and show people. Whoever keeps staring in the wind won't sow. Whoever daydreams won't reap, Ecclesiastes 11:4. We must be hard at work to get the message out. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever you find to do with your hands, you will do it all your might, because there is neither work nor planting, nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave, the place where you will eventually go. Colossians, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for Yahweh and not for man. Do not be slothful. Be fervent and serve Yahweh. Get the message out. Do not waste time with worthless things. Do not waste this time. It's time we got this message out and we used our time management much better. Remember, it said in Ephesians 5:15-17, be careful how you live. Do not be unwise. Making best use of your time, because the times are evil. The times are evil. Yes, we live with the eternity in mind, but we have a job to do here. We are never guaranteed tomorrow, so don't boast about tomorrow. Know what we must do this day. It says, not tomorrow, but it says, this is the day Yahweh has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Those of you that are saving up for retirement can be giving that money to the needy right now, trusting Yahweh will provide your needs. Those of you that are wasting your time on things of the future by not doing things now, you got it backwards. Let Yahweh guide you. Let his spirit guide you. Let him direct your steps. Make time for him every day. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and Yahweh hears my voice. Psalms 55:16-17. Prioritize, organize, and set the goals for your life. But more important than anything else, it says in Psalms 37:5, commit your ways to Yahweh, trust in him, and he will act. Keep your eyes open, and you'll have plenty of food. He'll meet all your needs. Get up from your sleep. Lazy hands, but diligent hands bring wealth. We need to understand the wealth of our wonderful Creator. We need to understand this. And I look at these people now, and this is the important thing to understand. Stephen Saint, carrying on the message of his father, the wonderful gospel message, the people in this movie, The Insanity of God, carry on the message of the people persecuted all over, not giving up with enthusiasm to share the word. And you understand the mission field. And you understand a mission doesn't mean you have to go halfway around the world to some small village to preach the gospel. But it means you have to go out. You must go out, whether it's to the homeless people on the corner or the drug addicts down the block or the people that are ready to commit suicide. We must go out. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. We must go. We must go. Isaiah 6:8-9 says, "Then I heard a voice to Yahweh saying, whom shall I send and who will go? And I said, here I am, send me." No, we can't have this desire to go to Hawaii or all the nice places of the world where we live in comfort. We must go where he sends us. As it says in Mark 16:15, go to the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Declare the glory among the nations of his marvelous deeds among all peoples. 1 Chronicles 10:24. Luke 24:47 says, "And in his name, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." And who is that that's supposed to be the one leading this? Us. 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 Go out there, just like Yeshua. Yeshua was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease. Seeing the people, he felt compassion on them because they were distressed, desperated like sheep without a shepherd. There are so many people out there in that situation today. And we have the gift, the ability, the capability, and the command to go out there. To go out there. Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to Yahweh is for them, for their salvation." That's where our heart needs to be. That is love. To miss an opportunity to share the gospel should be the most hurtful thing in our lives. Jeremiah 33 says, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come." Ask him to send you to do his work. It says, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples." Giving up everything to go and share his word. To share his word. He's sending us. He's sending us. We must go and get the word out. It says in Matthew 24:14, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And there the end will come." So this very day, not thinking about tomorrow, this day, go out and tell people. Share your testimonial. Let them know Yeshua died for them. And let Yahweh do the work from there. But do your responsibility every single day. Don't let one opportunity pass. Praise Yahweh, our wonderful creator, for this day he has made. Have a blessed day, everybody. With enthusiasm, Yahweh be with you, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.